me before I step on it. There we go. Well, actually, I was probably in the back on the grill doing short order cooking. So that's probably why I didn't see as much. My sister and Diane and Connie were always out on the floor. And then my girls, all of them had took a turn waiting on tables as well. So we didn't let Maggie do that, though. She was, yeah. But she's a very, very good at what she does. Shameless plug, Nick Pate, State Farm. Woo! Out in Alto, if you need any insurance, see her. She's very good at what she does. Decaloris for all you banquet people. God bless you. I'm glad you went through and had that experience. If you haven't, you got to wait a year because they're remodeling that church and they won't have a fall campaign this year. So it'll be next spring. But if you haven't gone, you need to go through. It's a great weekend. As for what we're doing now, I heard some people mentioning those with addictions, and I have the blessing of being able to share with a lot of people that are in addictions. I work with the probation department for Howard County, and I'm just part-time there. And the rest of this is what I do part-time as well, just go around and share Jesus with people, and that's kind of cool. Yeah. Now, no doctorate, yeah. If I was to tell you I got my doctorate and PhD somewhere, you know, it'd be like, yeah, I could run for Congress, you know. But looks like I'm going to get right into this, if that's okay with you guys. Looks like you've been heading up to Easter in a sermon series themed Journey to Jerusalem. Is that right? Yep. Okay. And Pastor James shared last week with Luke 9:22-27 how Christ knew that he knew what was coming. And he went explicitly to Jerusalem knowing that was coming. Wow. That's amazing. And how he instructed his disciples to follow him. Also that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem to do the will of the Father. And today we're going to be looking at a ton of scriptures. So there's going to be some times when you can follow along, and there are going to be some times I'm just going to say, just bear with me for a minute. But listen, because they're very valuable scriptures. I'm going to title the message today, Hiding Out Near the Enemy's Fire. Hiding Out Near the Enemy's Fire. We'll be looking at the life of Simon Peter and the struggles that he faced as he followed Jesus and how it relates to our lives and the struggles that we face as well. So, let's pray first and ask God to open our ears. Father, there's only one thing I want to happen today, and that would be that you would be lifted up for all men to see, and that they would want to follow you as we have followed you. So, God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing unto you, and it would be able to produce some good fruit today in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And just keep your finger in there because we're going to go back to it, okay? I'm just going to read to you. I read from the New Living Translation. That's for people that are like me and don't understand King James very well. So here we go. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. So when you have repented and returned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you or even die with you. And Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. I'll skip down to verse 39. Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. And then an angel of heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed even more fervently. And he was in such agony of the spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. At last, he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. And that's twice, wasn't it? That's twice that he said that. Pray that you not give in to temptation. Verse 47. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached him, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus and greeted him with a kiss. And Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. But one of them struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. And Jesus said, no more of this. and then just like Jesus would, he touched the man's ear and healed him. That is so cool. Jesus spoke to the leading priests and the captains of the temple guard and the elders who had come for him. Am I some dangerous revolutionary, he asked, that you would come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns. I'm going to stop there just a little bit, and then we'll get back to it. A couple of things I want to see here, just really clear. Jesus said to him right away, he says, I have pleaded, Simon, in prayer for you. He actually prayed for Simon and the others that their faith would not fail. And then he says, but when you have repented, you know, he knew in advance that Simon was going to fail. Yeah. He knew in advance he was going to sin. He was going to blow it. When you have repented, turn to me again and then strengthen your brothers. There's a message there for all of us. Guys, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a sinless person. I wish I was. I wish I was. The only way I'm a sinless person is because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way I can be white as snow, clean and pure. I know you guys pretty well to this point to know that you're not a sinless person either. You know, I'm just going to throw that out there, you know. I know that. And Jesus knows. He knows where you're at. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. And he loves you anyway. He knew what we were like, and still he followed the Father's will and went to the cross and died for all of us. Isn't that amazing? Then Jesus foretells Peter, you know, that before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter, he just shoots off his mouth, right? I'm kind of like Peter in a lot of ways, and that's one of them. A lot of times I'm going to say something first, and then when I figure the facts out later, I'm going, oh, wait a minute, let's back up here just a little bit, and let's plan a good strategy. But Peter, he just shoots his mouth off, and And that's what he did here. Hey, I'm ready to go to prison with you, Lord. What happens when in the garden and the soldiers come? Is he ready to fight or is he ready to run? What happens to us when times get tough? Are we ready to fight? Or are we going to be like the disciples and run? You're going to deny me three times. He knew that right in advance. They go up to this to the Mount of Olives, and I love the scripture there when it says, as usual. That was a place they went often to pray. You know, they had that great upper room experience, you know, where they had the banquet, you know, and that was awesome. When they came down from there, where'd they go? They went to the Mount of Olives to pray. So where do we pray? Do we strategize a time in our day to absolutely talk to the Father without distractions? All you young people, without distractions. Just saying. Yeah, not just young people. She's right. Maggie's right. Yeah, I know. I do it too. Yeah, I know. But that's true. We do, don't we? And we got to find out what everybody's saying. I don't know about you guys. My problem is the news. You know, I got to find out what's going on in the world, and I got to find out who's doing what and who needs to be locked up instead of who's trying to get locked up. But anyway, we won't get into politics today. interesting that Jesus, in that prayer time there, he is struggling so much. And you think about it, guys, if it was you and the Father said, I want you to die for these people, and I might do that for Maggie. I might do that for my girls and my grandkids. I don't know everybody just that well, and I don't know if I'd want to die for everybody. He did. He really struggled with that, and it's really good to see that his humanity in this, and that he really struggled with that. It's good to know that he was tested with everything that could possibly be tested in his life, and he still passed the test. Father, if you're willing, please take this cup from me and the suffering away from me, but not what I want, what you want. And isn't that what God asked us to do? Jesus said that himself, isn't it? And he says, pray that your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Amen? Okay, just want to make sure you guys are still awake. Interesting, because that's where we're going to next. as he's praying, he's sweating big drops of blood here, you know. He's in agony in this prayer and in this struggle. And where are his brothers to support him? They're sleeping. They're sleeping in his most critical hour of his life when he's struggling with this. And guys, we need to be there for our brothers and sisters that need to be strengthened. And sometimes it means going places we shouldn't go or don't want to go to reach out to them and bring them into a better walk with Christ. So he confronts them. Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray. So that you will not give in to temptation. He says that twice. That was very important. So today, I'm going to ask you guys a question. What are you doing to help you overcome temptation? Okay, we're going to get to a couple things here in a minute. That would be one of them. Okay, we finally get to the point where Jesus is taken in and he's arrested. In verse 54, we pick up again where Peter denies Jesus. And don't be too harsh on Peter today, guys. Don't be too mean on him. Remember, the other guy scattered too. Well, he was close. Not only was he close, but he went into the encampment of the people that were arresting him. He's sitting there with the soldiers by the fire waiting to see what's going on. Have you guys seen The Chosen, this TV series, The Chosen? I hope you have. And if you haven't, start it now. I'm telling you, it's really amazing the way they see how this could portray Jesus in different lights. And the one thing that that I get from watching The Chosen is the way that Peter is portrayed in this show. Because sometimes he's like, yes, let's do it. You over here, you do this, you do that. And then the next thing he's going, I don't know. I don't know about all this. Maybe I need to leave, you know. And then he goes over by the Roman soldiers and he's talking to them. And then later he comes back in and he's going to do some more. And then they feed the thousands of people there in Decapolis. And all that happens. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're out on the boat in a storm. And I don't know if you haven't seen this far. I won't give it away to you because I saw it in the movie here recently. It was really cool. But it comes to the part where he gets out of the boat and is on the water with Jesus, right? And you know the story, so I can tell you this much of it. You know, he starts to look around at the waves that are coming up and then he starts to sink into the water. And then Jesus reaches down and pulls him up. Okay, and what happens after that? I won't give it away, but you really need to see what happens when they get back in the boat. That is amazing, and I really think that was a good point for Peter to know this, to know how powerful Jesus really is. They arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down. And Peter joined them there. And now a servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. And finally she said, this man was one of Jesus's followers. Peter denied it. Woman, I don't even know him. And after a while, someone else looked at him and says, you must be one of them. No, man, I am not, Peter said. And then about an hour later, someone else insisted, you must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. So they've got him pretty well picked out. They know who he is. And Peter said, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. How do you respond when you're faced with, are you a Christian? How do you respond when you're with a lot of non-Christians and they're behaving accordingly? What do we do to show them Jesus? Jesus was telling us that we needed to pray so that we don't fall into temptation. And if that's the case, guys, are we doing that? Are we praying? There's some scripture that I'm going to share with you in a minute, and it comes from Psalms 119. You're going to say, what? Psalms 119? Wait a minute, that's 150 verses, man. Come on. Yes, it is. But I'm not going to share all of them with you today. We'll be here till tomorrow. That would be not a good thing. Before we do that, I just want you to know that Jesus sees you. He sees you every day, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're faced with, and he's looking to see what kind of a representative for him that you're going to be. He wants to know how you're going to represent him. And so you better have your mind made up before you get there. Otherwise, you might be a little bit like Peter and cozy up to the fire. No, you got me wrong. I'm not really a Christian. I just go to church a lot, you know. I just go once in a while. I'm not a regular attender. I don't get fanatic like a lot of those Christians do, you know. Come on. How do you respond? What do you look like when everybody else is looking like the world? Well, I would like to present to you today that there are three things that you need to do. And in the process of that, I'm going to give you some things that we can learn about Peter along the way. But I'm going to show you through Psalms 119 exactly those three items, okay? First of all, Psalms 119 is actually divided into 22 parts or stanzas. Didn't know that, did you? They're denoted by 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza contains 8 verses. That's cool. The last letter for each verse is that which gives name to the stanza. Its contents are mainly praises of God's words, exhortations to its perusal, and reverence for it. There are prayers for proper influence, there we go, and complaints about the wicked for despising God's word. And that's in there a lot. You have to see that as well. But there's only two verses in the whole chapter that do not contain some term or description of God's word. This is how important this is. And that would be verse 122, 132. So anyway, I want to read to you guys just a little bit about this, okay? I'm going to read to you from Psalms 119. I'm going to start with verse 42. Listen to this. It says, "Then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word." Then he says, "Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." I love this. "I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands. How I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees." And we'll skip down to verse 59. It says, "I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your laws." Are you worried about where you should go next? I heard somebody talk about whether they needed to get a different position in a different town, live in a different town. Well, focus on the word. Pray, ask God for directions. "I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Evil people will try to drag me into sin." Is that true? Mm-hmm. "But I am firmly anchored in your instructions." Verse 66. "I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge. I used to wander off until you disciplined me. Now I closely follow your word. You are good and do only good." Now, guys, there's times when it doesn't feel that way, right? But if I remember Romans correctly, 8:28-29 says, "All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Now, a lot of people stop there. I don't. I go on to the next verse because I want to find out what his purpose is, right? And then it goes on to the next verse and it says, "Those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son." Guys, we just had some friends that we lost this week. I lost an aunt this week. I was able to be there and be with the family during her last moments. And then that was at 11 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, we lost another friend. And things happen. I mean, life happens, death happens, cancer happens. And it, this world is not perfect. The one to come will be. Amen? The one we're coming to is going to be. But this world is not perfect. And because there is sin in the world, there is consequences of that. And that's what we live with. there's no way that I can tell that family that it was a good thing that their mom passed away, except for the fact that she knew Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and she has the hope of resurrected life and living with Jesus forever. And I don't know about you guys, here's hope, right? That's what we have. We have hope in Jesus Christ. So I think if we use even the bad stuff that happens to us, we can see God's goodness through that, the fact that he was with us through that. Amen. And, oh man, I would not want to face death or cancer or any of those things without having Jesus Christ to be with me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So I'm going to just stop there with this. Maybe later today you guys could pull out the word and look through the rest of this, and you're going to go, wow, he's right. It does say, it does talk about the word that many times. 150 verses of it, you know, just it's incredible. And the other thing that he says a lot in here, and you'll see it as you read through it, is he's asking God to hear his plea. Listen to my prayer. Save me. Keep me from my enemies. You know, rescue me from my enemies. So there's two things right there that we're seeing. Read the word and pray and ask God for help. And then there's a third element in here that I think is kind of hidden. And I really want you guys to go home and read this by yourself. We just don't have enough time here to do it today. But the third element is kind of hidden through this. But if you look, he'll say, I listened to your word. I listened for your word. So back in the 90s, I was Youth for Christ director here in Howard and Tipton County. And then I became a youth pastor, was out at Upper Deer Creek Church up in Galveston area for 4.5 years as a youth pastor there. Several different churches as a youth director. And I always tried to teach the kids this. I said, hey, if you can't get on your knees and pray for an hour at a time, if you're like the disciples and you're praying for Jesus and you're falling asleep, you know, after 15 minutes, maybe you can't do an hour. Maybe you can't do a whole day of praying or a whole night of prayer. It's very hard to do. We're weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, right? Okay. Can you give him 15 minutes? Right? Can you give him 15 minutes? Could you read the word of God for just 5 minutes? Could you talk to him for 5 minutes and tell him what your concerns are for the day? Let him know how awesome he is. Give him praise. And then could you just shut everything off, get away from everyone, and listen to his Holy Spirit talk to you? It will revolutionize your life. Now, some of you guys are saying, 15 minutes, I do that, you know, every hour, you know. that's okay. I'm glad you're on that page. But, you know, maybe you guys get to the place where 15 minutes becomes 30 minutes or an hour. And I'm kind of glad she's here. My rock star wife is that person. She gets up every morning, no matter how she feels, no matter what's going on in the day, no matter what time she's got to be where, she gets up an hour early. She's done this since our girls were little. We have 4 girls, and they're all grown. And they all got kids of their own. Well, one's getting ready to have one, but that's what she did. She would get up an hour before everybody else, before everything else was starting to crank in the house, and she would sit and she would read the word. She'd be there for an hour, and she still does it to this day. She'll plug into different studies that are online, which is a good thing to do. There's all kinds of things out there, that YouTube, we can pull it up and do it. We've been listening to a podcast that we really like a lot, and I think it would be good for you guys to nourish you and to teach you and to train you. So I'm pretty sure Pastor James would encourage that as well. Okay, so read, pray, and listen. Just even if it's just 15 minutes. And here's some lessons from Peter I want you to get. Number one, you need to think before you speak, right? Yeah. Let's somebody says, hey, we ought to let's do an outreach to the whole Indian Heights here. We're going to go to every door and give them a gift, you know? Whoa! what is that going to entail, you know? That's going to be a big undertaking. So that's a great idea, but how are we going to do that? Let's think before we say stuff. You know, he wanted to, I'm going to go to prison with you, Lord. I'll even die with you. No, he didn't do that. But what he did do was, after he realized what had happened and he repented, he did strengthen his brothers. He did exactly what Jesus asked him to do and became the leader of our church. So, number two, don't worry about God's plans for others. And you'll see this in the series, The Chosen, where he's got a real big problem with the sons of thunder, right? With James and John. And they're both fishermen, and I'm sure they've been barking at each other for years over the water. But what about them, you know? Jesus says, doesn't matter about them. You know, I'm just talking to you, okay? So don't worry about God's plan for other people. Worry about his plan for you and what you can do. Number three, God uses flawed people. Yeah. Yeah. You're looking at one of them right here, okay? I'm looking back at you, so it's all right. number four, you will hear from God, and you will hear from the devil. Only God has the best interest at heart. It may not seem at the time, but he does. And I told you about Romans 8, 28 and 29. You can put that down as a reference for that. Number five, you can only walk on water if you get out of the boat. Right? Okay? And I've used that before in a message. Peter's the only one who did. You know, Jesus is walking on water for him. Hey, if it's really you, let me come out there. You know, he's speaking before he thinks, you know. And come on out. Yeah. And he did. And he did walk on water a little until he started looking at the waves around him. And at this point, I would throw in the fact that number six, you cannot exercise faith and fear at the same time. You can't exercise faith and be afraid. You can't do it. Peter showed that while he was walking on water and he's watching these waves being tossed all around him. And to this point, I might even add, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, not on the stuff that's going on around you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Number seven, God can take your deepest disappointments and turn them into your greatest celebrations. Yeah. What was it he told Peter? But after you have sinned, after you have repented, then help your brothers. And it was a good celebration at that point. If you haven't seen the latest episode, I told you about the deal about the water and the impact that it might have on Peter. And I really hope you see that. It's just incredible. I think that was a good point in Peter's faith, at least so far in this series. And yet there'll be a stronger point that'll come after the crucifixion. I know when that's coming, but can't wait to see it. Number eight, have the courage to be seen with people that God is still working on. Later in Acts, we'll see Peter influenced by some of the Jews from back home, and they looked away from the new converts. You know, he kind of associated with them, and Paul calls him out on it. He straightened him up really good. But we are called to do what? Love God, to love people, and to serve the world. Would you agree with that? Amen? So let God change the hearts of the lives of the people that come, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to change people's lives. It's not our job to convict of sin. So if you got somebody comes in off the street, maybe they are drug addicts. Okay, great, praise the Lord, they're here. Praise God, they're here. And make them feel welcomed, make them feel loved, make them feel wanted, because the rest of the world wants to throw them away. The rest of the world wants to put them in prison. They need to know that they're loved, no matter what. That's the one thing I love about this this Chosen. Man, I'm advertising for the Chosen today, I guess. When Jesus looks at one of these people, whether they're blind or lame, whether they have leprosy, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, the harlot, you know, he looks into their eyes and he says these words, and I know you. And he cared for them. He healed them. He made the lame to walk again, the blind to see. He not only healed the man with leprosy or the withered hand, but he also raised the dead to life. You know, we want to run from death. You know, he's not worried about it. He says, Lazarus, that's okay. Open the tomb. He's not dead. He's just sleeping. Yeah, he doesn't care about where they're at. And we can't care where they're at either. We've got to let them know that they are welcome in the house of God. Amen? Yeah. All right. I like that. You guys are going to do well. So let's let God change their lives. That's his job. Our job is to show them Jesus. And you hear this a lot at the Great Banquet, by being the hands and feet of Christ. Amen? Okay, number nine. We're almost done, guys. Hang on. Number nine, God can turn you from a loose pebble into a solid rock, from a flawed fisherman named Simon Peter to the rock. You know, and God can take you, no matter where you're at, no matter where what your walk of life is right now. You may think, God can't use me. He can, he wants to, and he will if you let him. Number 10. Your life will be tested to its limits, but Jesus is interceding. He's interceding on your behalf that your faith prevails. Remember where we started this study? It was in verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you. Simon, that your faith should not fail. Wait a minute. See, oh yeah, that's right. Where's Jesus? He's on the right hand of the Father. And what's he doing? He's praying for us. He never quits. I love that. All right, so Simon Peter, we learned by his own mistakes, and you bet he did. Listen to what he writes later in life in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, and listen to this. This is his encouragement to you today. Stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the very same kind of suffering that you are. And number 10 says, in his kindness, God has called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. And so after you have suffered a little while, he got it. He will restore, support, and strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. So if there's hope for a guy that was as flawed as Simon Peter was, there's hope for a person like you and I, right? There's hope for us today. The three things you got to do to make sure that you don't fall into temptation, read the Word. We're going to read Psalms 119 this afternoon, right? Okay? And read the Word. Pray. Talk to him. Yeah, you can give him, you know, you can share your needs with him, but he knows those. Tell him how awesome he is. Tell him how thankful you are for all the many blessings that you've been given. So read his word, pray, and then listen to him. Let him talk to you. Let him call you his beloved. Let him call you his very own child. Listen to him. He said that, man, you'll be ready to take on the world. And even if you just start with 15 minutes a day, an hour a day, or then all day long. I don't know about you guys, but I'm constantly going through the day talking to the Holy Spirit and listening to him as I go through the day. It's just a constant communion back and forth, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I cannot imagine life without the Holy Spirit. We're going to have the music team to come back again, and they're going to be singing another song with us here. The song is called Inside Out, and so I'm going to ask you guys today that while we're singing this song that you will open up your heart. And you'll allow God's Holy Spirit to mold and shape you, even as he did with Simon Peter. Yes, he failed at times. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. But God is so good. He's so good, and he wants really bad to mold you into the image of his Son. And so let's stand together and let this be a time where you just make peace with God and ask him to change you and be that person that he can use.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.